said, why? Well, I mean, hey, maybe they got their hearts right, and now they're 1 Samuel 22. But not leave you adults out, amen. You can get anything out of this you want. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Well, I sure appreciate the Lord helping us, amen. 1 Samuel 22, verse numbers 16. Just going to jump in the story here. David has fled from Saul. He's gone down to Nob. And now Saul found out that he was there. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 16, and the king said, this is Saul, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Now, Ahimelech is the priest. Verse 17, and the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for those servants. Amen. They stood against the word of the king. Amen. Why? Because they knew not to touch God's anointed. Amen. Verse 18, and the king said to Doeg, there's always going to be a Doeg around, amen, willing to do the devil's bidding at any time. I'd hate to be a Doeg in the church. Turn now and fall upon the priest. And Doeg, the Edomite, you see that? See where he came from? Turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. How'd God identify the priest there? By wearing a linen ephod. Clothes don't matter. Oh yeah, they identify. They matter to God. Verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And Lord, I'm just really, Lord, my heart is full for what you've done, Lord, over the week and, Lord, even here today. And Lord, I just want to thank you. And we want to give you all the glory and honor, Lord. We don't want to touch it. And really just want your will accomplished here tonight. So, Lord, I ask for your touch and anointing. And bless your people that are here in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in the beginning of chapter number 22, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Verse 2 says, and everyone that was in distress. I would say here that when Abiathar flees to David, he was one that was in distress. You understand the story. Who is Abiathar? Well, he's the son of Ahimelech. He's the grandson of Ahitub. He's the great-grandson of Phinehas, the great-great-grandson of Eli. He's of the line of Ithamar, who was the son, likely the youngest son of Aaron. So a direct descendant of Aaron and a descendant of Eli. And he's a young man, I believe, at this time, and a priest. He's in Nob, and it appears like Nob was a place where the priests were trained, or if you may, for the priesthood. And we see the first thing I want to preach on Abiathar here tonight. And I want to preach on this thought about you, to you young people, about being an Abiathar. But then, on the contrary, I'm going to preach, don't be an Abiathar. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense. But I want to just stay with me. We'll get through this here pretty quick tonight. But I just want to look at a few things. The first thing we see in verses 18 through 20, that Abiathar escaped death and destruction. Doeg, that wicked man, took his sword against the priest, the called of God. And he slew 85 of them on that day. He did not stop there. He continued in the city. He smote the men, the women, the children, the babies, and the animals with the sword. It was a great slaughter. Do you understand? There was hundreds, if not thousands, of people killed that day. The blood that was shed and everywhere, and the priests laying there in the linen ephods, the holy garments that God clothed them with, that they had been anointed with to do the service of God. And out of out of that carnage, out of that destruction, out of that death, out of that mess, one man, one young man, Abiathar. We don't know how. We don't know the circumstances. We know God did it, but he escapes that. And he somehow he knows where David is and he flees to David. There was 85 priests killed. If you count Abiathar as a priest, which he was, probably a priest in training at the time. There was 86 priests there that day. 85 of them died and one escaped. If you do the math on that, the odds was 1.2% of Abiathar escaping death and destruction. You say, what's that have to do with us as young people? Do you understand how big this world is? Do you understand this world is filled with death and destruction and sin and trouble and heartache and grief and wickedness and abominations? And they tell me there's 8 billion people in the world today. I don't know how they know that. Whether there's 7 billion or 8 billion or 8.1 billion, as they say. Do you understand that you, out of 8 billion, you understand the percentage that is? You understand the odds that you would be the one that would escape the destruction of this world, the sin of this world, the filth of this world, all that the devil has blinded this world and bound them by, but God has taken you and you're sitting in a church tonight where the truth of the Word of God is preached, where people love you and people pray for you, and you're being given every opportunity to be something for God. How and why are you the one that escaped? I'm talking unthinkable odds. There's no reason on earth you should have escaped and be here tonight. There's no reason I should be here tonight. The odds were not in our favor. We had nothing to offer to God. Yet we're here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that man escaped the sword and the death and destruction. How? I don't even know. It's a miracle you and I escaped. He escaped the slaughter, the madman Doeg. Listen, there are mad people in this world. They're out of their minds. God has helped us. Why aren't you in that mess? He escapes to David. You know who David was? He's the one that could help him. Because David knew what he was going through. You know, young people, there's one person that can help you. In the end, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He knows what you're going through. Say, nobody understands me. Well, that's probably true. Who would want to understand your scrambled up brain? God does. He's the only one that can help you. See, David was in a similar situation. He's running from Saul. He's running for his life. And here comes Abiathar. I'm so glad that God rescued you and me from destruction. Amen. One of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 103 verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Listen, I look back on my life. That's amazing that 50 years ago, my parents met each other. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I'd recommend a 17-year-old girl decide and go out with a 20-year-old guy. I'm just saying that for my daughter. Amen. We don't believe that was before Christ. Amen. But I thank God for His sovereignty and His providence. And out of that, I was born. Amen. Eventually, a few years later. Amen. And listen, my life has been blessed. All I know is church and the house of God and the Word of God and the people of God and preachers of God and preachers' wives of God and missionaries of God and the things of God and the songs of God and the work of God. It's all I know. He redeemed my life out of destruction. And you young people, I know you're young, but all you know right now is church and the Word of God and the people of God, as much as you don't like some of them, and the things of God and the songs of God and the work of God. And I'm telling you, if you stay with God, you can be an old man like Pastor Keenan someday and say, all I've known are the things of God in my life. You know where you could be today? Do you understand you could have parents, boys, that thought you should have been a girl? You say, really? Wait, the world's full of them. Do you girls understand your parents could have you playing in boys' sports? Do you know you could have been taught there is no God? You evolved from a monkey and therefore live like an animal since you came from an animal. But you're not. Look where you are tonight. Look at you.
Amen.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Look how he comes in verse. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 6. And it came to pass, when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with a what? Ephod in his hand. Boy, that's interesting. What's the only thing he brought? He didn't bring a suitcase. Or like some of you teens, he didn't bring three suitcases.
Wow.
He didn't have a lunchbox. He didn't have a weapon in his hand. You know what he had in his hand? He had an ephod. Boy, you think about that. That tells me a lot about that young man. Death, destruction, fleeing for his life. What's he holding on to? That which he knows is about God.
Amen.
That's what he had. He didn't have the Bible like you and I did. You know what he had? As a young priest, he had an ephod.
Amen.
That's what he had. That's all he had left to him after that day. He did not have his parents anymore. He didn't have his friends. He had an ephod. And he made it to David with an ephod in his hand. Listen, he wasn't wearing it. He's carrying it. I'm telling you, young people, if you like Abiathar, and I know it's not an ephod, but if you hang on to that thing which represents God in your life, I'm talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm talking about the church we just heard sang of.
Amen.
I'm talking about godly parents and godly leaders in your life and the will of God in prayer. And you just hang on through thick or thin to that ephod that God's given you. See, not just anybody got the ephod. Only those who were priests got the ephod. Why? Listen, why have you been given so much? So he comes to David. He's carrying ephod. You know what David does? He accepts him and he promises to protect him. He says, "Abide thou with me. Fear not." Think about that. Do you realize what he just saw in the last little couple hours of his life? You understand what he saw? He watched his dad get killed. He watched 85 priests, their life taken with a sword. Guys, that's gruesome. He watched men and women and babies cut with a sword and die. He takes off running for his life. Can you imagine as he runs, the screams that he's hearing, they get fainter and fainter the farther he gets. He shows up to David. And what's David? What's the first thing David says? "Hey, don't be afraid. Fear not."
Amen.
You know what, young people? You know what some of you do? You got fears in your life. Now, if we compared him to Abiathar's life, we'd say, you're pretty foolish for the fears you have. But you know what they are to you? They're real.
Yes, sir.
You have fears in your life. There's things you're afraid of, the unknown. There's fears. And sometimes they grip you. You know what that one, as I try to represent, have David represent the Lord a little bit in this message. You know what the Lord wants to do? Deliver you from your fears.
Amen.
You know what he told Abiathar? He said, "Fear not." He said, "He that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard." The Bible says in Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" In other words, you got the Lord. What more do you need to be afraid of? Who could you possibly fear with the Lord on your side? Listen, young person, if you're saved, you are not by yourself. The Lord, hey, adult, you're not by yourself if you're saved. He delivered him from his fear. David said this in Psalm 34, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." I remember laying in bed as a 13-year-old boy. And you know what I was? I was afraid of hell. I was afraid of dying. And I was afraid of going to hell. You know what God did? He delivered me from my fears. You say, how? He saved me. For 31 years, I have never gone to bed and been afraid of going to hell. I've not been afraid of dying. Now, maybe the process makes me nervous at times. But the fact of dying doesn't. This, I used to fear judgment. Now, I can't say I don't fear the judgment seat of Christ. You got fear of troubles and all kinds of fear. But David calms his fears. The Bible says this in Proverbs 1, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." This, young people, I understand. Sometimes you look around this world, you look around what's going on, and you can be full of fear of the evil, of bad things happening. Do we live in a crazy society? We do. But God wants us to be quiet from fear of evil. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The worst they can do if you're saved is send you to see the Lord. That's the worst they can do for you. David is willing to protect Abiathar. He offers some protection and safety. Listen, you read that. You know what David does? He cares for Abiathar. So he escapes destruction and death. Then we look in 1 Samuel 23, verse 9. The Bible says, "And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar," what? "The priest." First time he's called a priest. "Bring me the ephod," or "bring hither the ephod." You know what Abiathar is? He's a priest. Not only was he delivered from death and destruction, but now he's a priest and he's going to be used by David for help. He's a priest. We look at his life. Many things he's able to do. We won't go there. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 11 and 12. When they carried the ark back, you know one of them who was in the group who carried the ark back? It was Abiathar. He's given the privilege to be a priest. And he's given the privilege to carry the ark of God back into Jerusalem. What a privilege. When Absalom takes over Jerusalem, they carry the ark, begin to carry the ark away. And David says, "No, you put the ark back where it goes in the temple or back in Jerusalem." He said, "If God's merciful to me, I'll see it again someday." And that was Abiathar was one. Him and Zadok were the ones who carried that ark back to Jerusalem, and it tarried there till David came back. You think of the privilege Abiathar had as a priest, as one who carried the ark. He was close and familiar with the presence and the power of God. You understand how close he had to get to that to carry that on his shoulder? He got closer than anybody else could get. I'm telling you, young people, if you avail yourself, do you know how close you are to the presence and power of God? You've even experienced it a little bit. You felt it. You've seen some of the effects of it in your life. You say, "What's the big deal?" There's so few that see that. You understand? There's people for years and years and years go to church and never feel the presence of God. Never see a display of the power of God. God's done it for you and your parents. Some of them tell you about things that happened that were the power of God. Amen. Not only that, you go on down the line. It says in 2 Samuel 8 that he had a son. Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priest. He had a son named Ahimelech. And he became a priest. 1 Chronicles 24, verses 3 and 6. So Abiathar becomes a priest. He carries the ark of God. He has children. And his son becomes a priest. That's pretty good. Listen, do you understand what your parents want for you, young people? At least I believe they do. Amen. If they're on board with the vision of the church that Pastor Keenan set years ago, they want to train you up so you get saved and you fall in love with God and you give your life not to the world, not to money, not to work, not to pleasure, but to live for and serve God all the days of your life. And then you have children that you bring up to serve God as priest of God. That's what they want. That's what we want. Look in 1 Samuel 23, verse 9. He told them, "Bring hither the ephod." Look in chapter 30, verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not. I'm sorry, chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7, it says this, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David." What he does here, we see the two times that David needs, he needs to hear from God. Who's he call? He calls on Abiathar to bring the ephod. He had it. Remember that? He had it. And he uses that ephod to get a hold of God. And it said this, This is 2 Samuel 8, 17. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Sariah was the scribe. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and Pelethites. And David's sons were chief rulers. We see then his son becomes a priest. You know what Abiathar does? He's being used of God to help David. The Bible says this. Abiathar, in 1 Chronicles 27, is called a friend to David. You know what Abiathar is doing? He's helping David. He's encouraging. He's being a blessing. When David needs to hear from God, he calls Abiathar to get a hold of God for him. So here's the man who was once relying on David to safeguard him. Now he is being a spiritual blessing to David. You know what spiritual maturity is? I know it's many things, but one thing it is, it's when you are able to be a spiritual blessing to somebody else. And you no longer constantly always rely on somebody else to be a spiritual blessing to you. Amen. See, we like spiritual. Do you not like spiritual blessings? We just received one from the song tonight. We might have received one from the testimonies. Hopefully you get one from the preaching. But we can get addicted to taking the spiritual blessings. Amen. Hey, Christian, when's the last time you've given a spiritual blessing? When's the last time somebody said, you know, I need to get a hold of God. I'm going to call Brother Kevin. I know he can get a hold of God for me. When's the last time somebody said, I need some help. I'm going to talk to so-and-so and get some help. Abiathar becomes a spiritual help to David. Young people, you know what you're being done for right now? Just about everything's being done for you. And that's okay. You're young. There ought to come a day in your life you can start being a spiritual blessing. Amen. And right now you could. In fact, some you did in your song service and all that. But as you grow and mature spiritually, you should look to be a spiritual blessing. Amen. You should be a spiritual blessing to me. Amen. You should be a spiritual blessing to your parents. Amen. You should be a spiritual blessing to your siblings and the other adults of this church and people out there in the world. He becomes a good friend to David. He seeks God on David's behalf. Not only that, in 2 Samuel 15, you know the familiar story, Absalom, the rebel. Always an Absalom around. What did the rebel do? He wanted the authority that wasn't his. You know what a rebel's problem is? It's authority. You know what Absalom's problem was? It was authority. He didn't want anybody telling him what to do. He wanted to tell everybody what he wanted done. And he tries to take over the throne. He's willing to kill his own father to get his own way. You know what Abiathar does? He stays faithful to David. Amen. When Absalom rebels against him. In fact, his son Jonathan, along with the son of Zadok, were left in Jerusalem. Do you remember that story? And they told him, basically, hey, you two be spies. You go back to Jerusalem, you be spies. Feign like you're on Absalom's side. You be spies for us. Right? Be undercover, be moles, whatever you want to call them. And when you hear what he's going to do, you let us know. David and the rest, as they were out there in the wilderness. Now think about this. Abiathar's son, Jonathan, has to go back into hostile territory. And if Absalom finds out what he's all about, what's he probably going to do to him? He's going to kill him. Boy, that young man had to have some pretty good training. He had to be trustworthy. He had been given some wisdom to know how to handle himself in a hostile environment. I'm telling you, young people, you better learn how to handle yourself in a hostile environment or you're going to be eaten up and chewed out so fast it won't even be funny. Now listen, when you're young, if we have anything to do about it, we try to protect you from hostile environments. But it's going to come a day, you're no longer going to be protected. But Abiathar sent his son in there. Abiathar did not go with the rebels. He's loyal to David. He did not get caught up in the smooth words and the actions of Absalom. You know what he had? He had a little bit of discernment. He saw that Absalom was not God called. He was not God's choice for king. David was. He saw that Absalom wasn't a spiritual person. He was about as carnal as it come. He didn't get caught up in the crowd. He stayed with David even when the going got tough. Listen, they'd been in Jerusalem. He's living a pretty good life, and now they're back out in the wilderness where he began with David. And he remained true to him. Even when he had to flee his home, he stayed with David. He was faithful. And then when Absalom's dead. And David's trying to go back, and there's a little bit of division in the kingdom. The Bible says that Abiathar was one of them that helped restore the kingdom back to David. I'm telling you again, he helps him. He's got great wisdom and discernment. He's such a friend to David. Go to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Abiathar. The odds of him escaping destruction were slim to none. Yet, look how his life has become. Look in 1 Kings 1. Verse 5 says, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.'" He's the son of David. And he says, "I will be king." But he's not God's choice. Look at verse 7. "He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him." Wow. Here's a man, Abiathar. Think about it. Escaped destruction. Went to David. David kept him safe out there in the wilderness in the caves. He becomes a priest. He's a blessing and a help to David. He carries the ark of God. He has a son who's a priest, another son that had great wisdom and discernment to stand in hostile territory. He's used by God then to help restore the kingdom. He does not go with Absalom. He stands against the rebellion and remains loyal to David through a very tough, difficult time. Helps restore the kingdom. Now David is pretty much on his deathbed. He's old. He's dying. And Adonijah, another son of David, says, "I'll be king." And here's Abiathar with that kind of history. And he goes with Adonijah. I mean, you talk about ruining a perfectly good story. Abiathar ruined a perfectly good story. And that's the message tonight, young people. You look at the odds of you being here. You look at the ephod that God's given you and all the opportunities. You know what some of you could do if you're not careful? You could ruin a perfectly good story. You could follow Adonijah. A fool. A rebel. You know what the devil's going to do, young people? He's going to send Adonijah your way. He tried with Absalom. He didn't get him with Absalom. But he's always gotten Adonijah. You understand, Abiathar is not a kid anymore. He's an older man. He's probably in his 60s or 70s at least. And he's deceived to go with Adonijah. Where's his appreciation and loyalty for David? Why didn't Abiathar just go to his good friend David and just say, "Hey, king, who's next? Who's the next king?" He's his friend. David relied on him. He helped David. Why couldn't he go ask David? But you stop seeking counsel, you're in trouble. Why was he so quick to go with him? Where's his thankfulness? I mean, he had been so loyal, he didn't have enough left to finish with David. I mean, he's just mere days or weeks. And he blows it for Adonijah. 1 Kings 2, don't go there, but Solomon's king, you know what he does? Tells Abiathar, "You're done. Get out of the priesthood." He lost it all. That ephod, it's the only thing he had when he escaped. And he loses it in the end because of Adonijah. He's replaced as priest. He's the last priest of the line of Eli. God had promised Eli wasn't going to have a priest for very long. And he's the last one he forsakes. Boy, what a great consequence for one bad decision of following the wrong man. I'm telling you, one bad decision can bring such a great cost. So I said, be an Abiathar. Stay by God's man. Be faithful to God. Be loyal to God. Serve God. But don't be an Abiathar. Don't follow Adonijah. Young people, I understand you're young. You probably don't even fully realize this yet. And I'm not shaming you on this. You really don't quite understand how good you have it. This is all you know. So this is everything to you. But if you could only see the other side, you'd be blown away. Hey, adults, don't ruin a perfectly good story. I don't know what your past is, all of you, but listen, it don't matter about your past. All I know is where you are right now.
Amen.
And what God's done for you.
Amen.
And for you to throw that all the way for an Adonijah.
Yep.
I mean, the name itself should tell you one worth following.
Amen.
Young people, are you thankful for what God saved you from? Adults, how about you?
Amen.
You know, some of you adults, I think, have got a little cool to the fact of what God's done for you. You've lost sight of the death and destruction you were spared from. And that ephod, the only thing you have, you've lost some zeal for it. You've gotten a little apathetic about it. You've got a little comfortable. You better be careful. The devil sends you an Adonijah. Young people, I challenge you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart. Don't follow Adonijah. Don't lose sight. You say, what do I do? You stay close to God. You be thankful. And you be appreciative for what God has done. You are one out of 8 billion people.
Amen.
And you're in one of the best places this entire world has to
Amen.
Offer. What are the odds? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to you? Listen, we're going to pray tonight. I'm going to just do something a little different. If you all give me the liberty to do that. I appreciate you coming to the altar and all that. But I preach to the young people tonight. If God didn't speak to your heart, I don't want you to come to the altar, and just for tonight. But if God spoke to your heart, or maybe God did something for you, and if you mean business with God, you come down here and you pray. And you ask God to help you not ruin a perfectly good story. Maybe some of you young adults or old adults, maybe you need to pray and ask God, don't let me ruin a perfectly good story. Listen, you need to be thankful.